I want you to do yourself a favor. If you weren't here last week and you didn't get online, I want you to do yourself a favor. One of the most amazing messages I've heard was preached last week. I'm just trying to remember the name, structure, systems and patterns. If you're stuck in the institutional or instruction mentality, you've got to move from that kind of infantile mentality of being told what to do to the currency of faith and moving into the freedom that faith brings. You need to listen to it. You need to bless yourself. If you weren't here last week, get online and listen to that message. It will bless you, by Pastor Mauricio from last week. A few days ago, I woke up in the middle of the night again. And I know when God's speaking because I don't think up these things. And I thought, sometimes I think, why not during the day? It's easier. How many think it's easier? In the middle of the night. So this was about 2 o'clock through to about 6 o'clock. Then I went to bed and couldn't sleep anymore. But there was some stuff that I believe God shared with me in regards to the church and the leadership of the church and things like that. But there was also a verse that came into my mind in relation to today, this morning. And those that are here, obviously you're here in person. Those that are at home on video, I believe that God wants to speak to us again. He spoke to us last week. He speaks to us again. Look, if we're not expecting the voice of God every time we get together, we're wasting our time. And that's my expectation. Have I got any friends? That's my expectation, and I desire for the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and apply it into our lives in a fresh way every single time. And we can expect that. Amen? It's not just some dry old historic book from, you know, a couple of thousand years ago and all that sort of stuff. No. The Bible is the living Word, not a stagnant Word. It's not words on paper. It's the living Word of God. And I pray that that's how you receive it today, as a living Word of God, specific for you, specific for me in 2022. Now, we're already almost a quarter of the way through the year. Before long, we'll be singing Christmas carols. Before long, we're going with Jesus. And I pray that we take that very, very seriously. I really, really do. And of course, the Bible says that our days are numbered. And we need to learn to number our own days, because God already knows our days. But it wasn't time for Quentin, because God's got plenty for him to do yet. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to what's going to happen in that family's life. I really do. Because that's no coincidence, what God has done right there. So what's God going to do in your life today? Look, can I tell you something? Nothing that I'll tell you today, you don't know. But I didn't get woken up in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock for no reason. Therefore, you need to know it. This is a reminder that we need to remind ourselves of every day. Every day. In fact, I made a decision, and I think I'm going to fill up my office with all that sort of stuff. I made a decision a few weeks ago, and somebody brought me the whole inscription in a frame, the verse that I was talking about. This is another decision, because it's only a couple of lines, quite easy. And I'm going to look at it every time I go in my office. I'm naming this particular message, Every Day, Pause First. every day first. Every day first. What's the first thing every day? That's what I want you to start pondering for a moment. I was going to call it this, the secret to the blessed life. Somebody wrote a book, The Blessed Life, and it's nothing like what I'm going to be talking about. The secret to the blessed life, the blessed death, and the blessed eternity. This is the secret. This is the secret. And the amazing thing is that it's not a secret. And so with that in mind, I want you to look with me at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. These are the words of Jesus. And they come towards the conclusion of the what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says these words. Have we got it there? Yep. But seek first. Let's say that word first together. Can we do that? But seek first. Let's do it one more time. One more time. But seek
first.
There's not enough. This is it for me. There's not enough of that. Can we try it one more time? For me. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things. And you can insert there whatever things you want. It can be an unlimited list. And all, how many know when the Bible says all, it's all. And all these things will be added. We don't believe it. I'm not convinced that we believe it. I don't believe it very often. I've got to slap myself in the face from time to time to understand whether I really believe it or not. Because my actions very often don't line up with my words and my so-called beliefs. I wonder if today the Holy Spirit doesn't want to shake us up and help us to understand in a personal sense and have a fresh revelation about what we do or don't believe. I wonder if the person sitting in your chair is the one that the Holy Spirit is targeting, not the one behind you, not the person behind you or beside you. Do you believe it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we come around your word. We're like eager children desiring something from you. Lord, we want to lay aside any preconceived ideas, lay aside anything that's about us. And we want to receive from you today, your word, fresh word, like a fresh manna that comes down from heaven today. Father, we pray that as we receive your word, it's your Holy Spirit that takes that word, shines it, illuminates it, empowers it, amplifies it, helps us to understand it, see it, and receive it. That's our desire today. Father, I pray that you hit home with your word. I pray that from this day on, we'll never be the same again because of your word. Lord, as your word is preached, we ask that you give the increase in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give me a better amen. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was the famous preacher Spurgeon. Anyone ever heard the name? Charles Spurgeon, who once said, there is just as much need for this text today as when it first came from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. And I agree with him. There's just as much need for this particular text today 2022, in the midst of everything that's going on, as when Jesus spoke it to the people that were listening over 2,000 years ago. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says these words, and I quote, "But exhort one another daily," one version says. Other versions say, "every day." For how long? Every day. When should we stop? It tells us, as long as it's called today. So how many days is that? Help me out. Every day, without exception. Wow. Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today. My question is, why? Why? So that none of you, and this is not to unbelievers, it's to believers, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The world is so bad. Sin is so great. And we are so weak that we need to remind ourselves every day how to be right before a righteous God. Every day. There's another exhortation that we need to remind ourselves every day. Just like that one. Seek first every day the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Why every day? The answer is, we're so prone to be so easily distracted. And I'm going to open up the why as we talk for the next few moments. I've got enough here for 2 or 3 weeks, so I'm going to abbreviate a little bit. Why every day? Why? What is so important about this verse? Now, it's found in a section of the Sermon of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 through to chapter 7. It's found in a particular section where Jesus teaches his followers. And let me see your hand. How many of you would call yourself a follower of Jesus? Can I see your hand? Okay, just about all of you. I think the majority, or if not all. So we call ourselves followers of Jesus. So Jesus is speaking to his followers. And he's teaching his followers how to live without worry and without anxiety. Read it for yourself. That's the context. In fact, verse 25 starts the conversation. And verse 25 of chapter 6 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your own body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" He's speaking to people that are his followers. The word anxious simply refers to care or concern. And the difference in the application is the context of care or concern. It can refer to legitimate concerns, or it can refer to sinful anxiety, and they're not the same. Here's the problem. Legitimate concern has a habit of turning into sinful anxiety. That's the problem. Being anxious is all about a divided mind. You've got a thought going this way and a thought going the other way. Hope fills your heart in one direction and fear drags you in another. That's anxiety. That's anxiety. You wish for the best, but expect the worst. Come on, that's you. That's me. But that's how the world lives. Are you listening to me? That's the world. Jesus says in this passage, that's not you. And too often, it's very difficult to discern who is the real follower of Jesus and who's not. Who's the world and who's the Christian? And let me tell you something, it's getting more difficult in the last days. The English word here for worry is derived from a German word which means to choke or to strangle. That's what worry is. It's internal strangulation due to uncertain circumstances. So here Jesus is saying to all who would follow him, that's us, Jesus is saying to us, do not, everybody say, do not be anxious. Say it again, do not worry. Do not, he's not giving us some options. Do not. He is in fact forbidding what is already happening. They were anxious and they were worried. You are anxious and you're worried. Otherwise, I wouldn't wake up in the middle of the night and God tells me to preach this verse. And in effect, he's saying, stop it. Stop it. Look at these people here. Stop it. Jesus is saying it, not me. The world today is living neck deep in fear, anxiety, worries. Jesus says, not you. Not you. During the 80s, Nancy Reagan, the wife of the then president, Ronald Reagan, launched a campaign to help kids to stay off drugs. And it was dubbed Just Say No. Does anyone remember it? Just Say No. And they looked at this campaign in retrospect and found that it was a failure overall. Perhaps it helped some people. And I no doubt that it probably did. But overall, it was a failure. And the reason is that it's hard to say no if you don't have something better to say yes to. Anxiety is an addiction of the heart that's difficult to say no to cold turkey. Matthew chapter 6 gives us a remedy for worry and an antidote for anxiety. Come on, give me a smile. I love that. I love that. What to say yes to as we say no to worry and anxiety. But seek, I like the old version, ye first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In a very real sense, this is the golden verse of the Sermon of the Mount, loaded with weight and meaning for all of us. The verse is a secret to the blessed life. Amen. the blessed death, and the blessed eternity. Put God first. Why? Because He put you first. Did you know that? Did you know that? You know, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it's not up there. Listen to me. We love because He first. Notice, He first saw you, Quentin. He first saw you, Angela. He first saw you, Maria. He first saw you, Tony. He saw you and He decided He wanted to love you before you ever loved Him. First. He doesn't ask us something that He hasn't already done and doesn't do. First. The reason why we're still alive is because He loves us. The reason why we're saved, because He loves us. The reason why we're still alive today and still breathing is because He loves us. While we were still sinners, the Bible says God sent His Son first. The Bible calls Jesus the first fruit. The first fruit, the best of the harvest first. His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? I've got a nice fig tree. The amazing thing about this fig tree is that it's got branches like the Jewish menorah. And when the leaves are off, it looks like this lampstand, the Jewish menorah. The first fruit come about a month before the rest of the fruit. That's how figs work. I didn't know. Who knew that? Who didn't know that? Well, there you go. Now you know something. And they come a month before. Believe me, they are as big as my fist. They are the first fruit, and they're the best. And I get to them before the birds do. And I grab the best one. And I take it to this woman here. Because she deserves the best. It's the first fruit. Jesus is the first fruit. And He loved you first. Before you ever even thought about Him and understood His love for you. First. Not the last fruit. He's the first fruit. My challenge to you today is to put God first. How do you do it? There's two phrases. Two phrases that I want you to walk out of here remembering. Two things. It's easy to remember just two things. Seek God first and trust God. Help me out. Seek God, trust God. Talk to me. Seek God, trust God. How often? Every day. Seek God. That's what I've got to put on my desk. Seek God, trust God. Today, tomorrow. Seek God. Help me out. Trust God. Tuesday, seek God, trust. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, louder. Saturday, Sunday, seek God, trust God. And your life will never be the same again. You know what? We're not too good at either of these things. And because we're not so good at them, we need to remind ourselves every day. every day. You know, there's three kinds of people. There's those that don't seek God at all, and they're void of any true peace or contentment. They go looking for it, never finding it. Then there's a second kind of people, those that seek God but not first. Those guys have got a civil war happening on the inside of their heart. And they're miserable, even though they go to church. There's a third kind of people. And the third kind of people are the Matthew 6:33 kind of people. And they're the happiest people on earth. And it's not because they've got all the money. And it's not because they're without problems. And it's not because they haven't got stumbling blocks and challenges in their life. It's because they decided once for all who God is and what place God has in their lives. They're the happiest people. And I've seen all of them. I've seen people that go to church for 20 or 30 or 40 years and they are miserable. I hope that's not you. But if it is you, stop being miserable. Because they seek God once in a while, especially if something goes wrong, and then forget him the rest of the time. And they are misery plus, because there's a civil war going on the inside of them. Oh yeah, they seek God, but not first. Anything else? But not God first. Someone rightly said, seek God, not happiness. Think about it. Because if you seek God, you also get the happiness. Why not both? Amen? So you seek God. How do you seek him? Really, really quickly, because we're running out. Really quickly. How do you do it? What do you do? I'm glad that you asked the question. The first thing you do is you seek God personally. Everybody say personally. Somebody can't seek God for you. Seek ye. You seek God. It's not talking about your wife. It's talking about you. It's not talking about your husband. It's not talking about somebody else. It's talking about you. This is not difficult. You've got to make the decision daily to seek God first. Jonathan Edwards, a famous missionary, said this regarding the values. He had a number of values. The first two values, notice what he said, I will live for God. I love that. The second value, if no one else does, I still will. Because it's not about somebody else, it's about you. Don't make it about somebody else and don't blame somebody else when stuff goes wrong. Seek God personally. It's the first fundamental principle for seeking God, regardless of who or what doesn't seek God. In John chapter 6, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And at this particular time, he's addressing hundreds of them, not just the 12. And he begins to talk to them about the cost of discipleship. We've talked about that other weeks. I'm not going to repeat it. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that they all left him. Read it. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and said, are you going to go also? Are you going to leave as well, like everybody else has left? And Peter, how many love Peter? And Peter, notice what he said. John chapter 6, verse 68 and 69. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You. And you can insert there, you alone. There is no one else.
You alone, you have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know. For those that have been here the last few weeks, there it is. Believe and? Come on, help me out. Believe and? We have believed and we've come to know that you are, no one else, you are the Holy One of God. You are. Listen, until you have that revelation, you will not seek God first, no matter how many cows come home and whether the moon turns in different colors or whether I scream and my voice comes out or my throat comes out of my mouth, whatever. If that doesn't happen. But we've believed and we also know, we're convinced as to who you are. Friends, that's why I'm still with Jesus. 60 plus years later. I'm still with Jesus. Have I got any friends? I'm still with Jesus and I'm still standing. And while I'm still standing and while I'm still breathing, I'm going to stay with Jesus. Hey man, what about you? What about you? What about you down the back? Hey man, Aunt Vince, what about you? Glory. We're still with Jesus. Amen. Not because Jesus does all this stuff for me every day. Not because Jesus does things because I want him. Not because I'm chasing his blessings. Not because of all the things that he's going to do for me. He may or may not do those things for me. But he's sovereign. He's in control. That's not why I'm chasing him. I'm chasing him because I know that he is the Holy One of Israel. He is God. Son of the living God. There is no one else. So I'm sticking with Jesus. Amen. No better alternative. Seek God personally, seek God continually. See, the grammar here is seek God and continue to seek him. Don't stop. How often should we seek? Come on, you're not convinced. Convince me. Shout it. That's what it's saying there. Seek and keep on seeking first. You see, the unbeliever might seek God from time to time for some blessing that they heard you get from him. But naturally speaking, the Bible tells us in Romans that nobody seeks after God. You read it for yourself. We're not reading it now. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. He talks about everybody's gone astray. And nobody seeks after God. God came seeking after you. I don't know if anyone here has never understood this, but I hope that you understand it. God's come seeking after you today. Why don't you decide once for all to throw yourself at the mercy of Jesus Christ? Of God himself. He loves you. He came seeking for you first. And if you come seeking for him, there will be a transformation in your life. You will be saved and you'll become born again. And as that grows, you'll start a journey of a new life with him. Why don't you make that decision today? In fact, let me prophesy a baptism coming up sometime. Come on. Come on, let's have a baptism sooner or later. It's been a little while. COVID's robbed us of everything. COVID is a liar. Let's get back on track. That's what this sermon's about, isn't it? Amen? Amen? Luke 19:10 is the mission of Jesus. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm so glad that he came for me. Are you glad that he came for you? Amen. Amen. So seek him continually. You need to understand that salvation has a beginning, but it's not
an end in itself. It's not an isolated event. Because after salvation, there is a seeking after God and a seeking after God and a seeking after God and a seeking after God. Because if that's not true, then it's not salvation. Seek Him. Personally seek Him continually. Seek God ultimately. Not in the sense of lust. We're talking about in the highest place. In the foremost place. Seek God ultimately. First, don't make God part of your list. God is beyond lists. I've seen lists on people's walls and in people's diaries and things like that. God first. And they expect the pat on the back. God first, family second, church. It used to be God church in the olden days. Or God first, family second, or wife and family second. Don't forget the wife. Job, career, and so on down the track. God first. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Look at me. God is not in a list. He's not first in that list. He's not last in that list. He is beyond the list. And we need to understand that God is in a category all by Himself. And we need to make up our mind if we believe that and we receive that, God does not play second fiddle to anything or anyone. And so He's far removed. He's in a category all by Himself. He is compared to nobody and nothing that follows. We don't understand it. So we're on this list and we check the list once in a while. Not like that. Seek God first. Wouldn't it be cool if somebody turned up at your door unannounced and you open the door, all of a sudden there's somebody with a big, freshly baked cake of your dreams. Fresh, still hot, still smoking, and the aromas are coming off it. And they say to you, you know what? I love you. You're my best friend. And my wife made this cake. And it's an amazing cake. You should smell it. And the ingredients, the best ingredients. And it's still hot. And as it came out of the oven, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. And I was about to tuck into it. And then I thought of you. And I said to my wife, wife, make me another cake. And I went and I knocked on your door. I thought of you. And here's the cake. But it wouldn't be cool if my wife made this beautiful cake. And it's, oh, the aromas. Tiramisu. No, that's cold. And you say, oh, thank you, Jesus. You cut the cake, the cream, everything. Oh, you cut it, you get a couple of pieces. The next day, some more pieces. And the next day, some more pieces. And there's a piece left. And here I am with my tin foil. Merle, I thought of you. Does God deserve the cake or the crumbs? I wonder. Seek ye first. Seek God ultimately. Ultimately. A young man came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, okay, this is how you do it. He says, but first, I've got some stuff to do. Let me go and bury my father. The problem's not burying your father. The Bible never tells us to drop our responsibilities. The problem is in the word first. Who's first? And too often, we're too busy, too young, too old, too occupied, too tired. And we don't realize that they're all traps, because one day it'll be too late. Too late. Jesus said, if you're going to do something, it's going to work, do it while it's day. Because the night comes when nobody can do anything. Isaiah 55, and I'm drawing to a close. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Are you listening to me? Give me a wave if you're listening. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That says to me that there comes a time where he may not be found, or we can't find him, or it's too late.
Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous his thoughts. There's two categories of people. The wicked in the Bible is not only or always the evil person, but the wicked is often translated the natural person. Joe Blow. Let the person doing his own thing. That's basically what he's saying. Let the person doing his own thing forsake his thing in favor of God in his life. And let the unrighteous, the sinner, forsake his thoughts. Let him, both, okay, both of these, return to the Lord so that the Lord may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly. What does that mean? How can you be abundant? You're either pardoned or you're not. But we'll leave that in God's hands. Basically, what it's saying is that there's plenty of pardon for everyone. Amen? And I'm first in line, sorry. There's plenty for me, and there's plenty for you. Why? Because I've decided to seek him while he may be found. So seek God personally. Seek God continuously. Seek God ultimately. Seek God rightfully. What I mean by that is that it says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Sometimes we don't pick up all the words, do we? Seek first the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is all about the dominion and rulership of God. And so when we seek the kingdom of God first, we are submitting as citizens of the kingdom to the ruler of the kingdom. It's all about obedience. And for those that have been the last few weeks, you know what I'm talking about. There's no seeking God first without obeying the king. Amen. So if you decide to seek God, you're also deciding to obey the king, because it's about his kingdom and it's about
his righteousness in our lives. Amen. Jesus said in his sermon in chapter 5 that when we seek and thirst and hunger after God's righteousness, sometimes he'll come and visit us and bless us. Is that what it says, Josh? What does it say? When we hunger and thirst after his righteousness, what happens? We will be, not sometimes, we will always be satisfied. Listen, you and I go searching and seeking for all sorts of stuff apart from the righteousness of God, and we get satisfaction for 5 minutes and we think that's happiness and satisfaction and joy. Listen, you've got it all wrong. And I'm not saying become a hermit and hide yourself under the bed. But I'm telling you, we don't seek God enough in this way. And we don't find satisfaction in God because we seek him wrongly. What are you talking about? Let me finish with a verse. Familiar verse. Let me finish with this. This is the climax. Because we said seek God, and the second one was trust God. And when we trust God enough, because we've sought him, you can expect all the things as he blesses you with that. And believe me, I was saying to somebody the other day, I said to them, I don't know how I've come to this stage in my life. All I know is that God has blessed me. I turn around and I realize that God has blessed me. I love that. Amen. So have a look at this verse. Have a look at this verse. Jeremiah 29:11, a familiar verse, but we forget verse 12 too often. But it was referred to, I think, 1 or 2 weeks ago. God says to his people, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." I want to pause there. I know the plans. Who's got the plans? How many have made the mistake like me, and I go to God and present my plans to him for his blessing? And then I get mad at him because he doesn't agree with my plans. I know the plans I have for you, and the plans for peace and so on. Let's continue to read it. Okay, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. He's got a future and he's got a hope and a purpose for you. Here's the question. Do you trust God's plan for you over your own? The answer is, too often, who would agree with me? Too often, it's not. We don't trust him with his plans for us. He's too out there. This is an all-important question. I'll tell you why. And I'm wrapping up. It's an all-important question because based on that trust, his plan for me, based on that trust, God and his kingdom, his righteousness first. Based on that trust that I choose to give him. Based on that, verse 12. Then, based on the fact that I believe in his plan, on the fact that I trust in his plan, on the fact that I believe that he is God over everything. Based on that, then, here's why we don't seek him. We don't trust him.
Then, based on me believing in his, trusting in his plan for me, then you will seek for me.
When?
When you trust in God's plan for you. When you decide to seek him first and his righteousness and his kingdom. Then you will seek me.
Then it separates who's seeking and who's not. Does it separate you? You don't have to put your hand up.
Then
you'll be seeking. Why? Because you trust him.
And you'll find me.
Because he ain't gone nowhere.
When you seek me
with all of your heart. Friends, it's time to say no to half-hearted, wishy-washy, complacent Christianity. Time to say no. And time to believe and trust in the God of our salvation and get on with the job of representing him well as we follow him in true discipleship. What do I do with my plans? Put them on the shelf. What do I do with my ambition? Put them on the shelf. And one day you look back and you say, hasn't the Lord been good to me? Hasn't the Lord been kind to us? More, far more, much more than we deserve. Seek ye first, daily, the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things shall be added. Let's stand. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. It's up to you what you do with God's word, and it's up to me what I do with it. One day we'll all stand alone, personally, and give an account before a holy God. And I pray that you make the right choices and the right decisions while you still can. Give God glory, give God honor. Don't get distracted. Don't be full of worry and anxiety about things. Get your life right. Get my life right. And watch what God does. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that takes it and applies it to right where we are living. Give us the courage to be obedient and to stand for you, knowing that there is no better choice, there is no better option than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us first. So we love you first. Help us to make that choice sincerely and carry it through daily for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just wait for a couple of moments before we wrap it up. And then we're done for today. Let's just lift our hands and worship the Lord. A couple of moments.